Let me give you a little idea of shouting the name of Jesus this morning. Many of you know that Charlie Kirk was assassinated weeks ago. The memorial service, the celebration of life, is today. State Farm Arena in Arizona. Seats 72,000 people. At 4:30 this morning, there are tens of thousands of people outside of the stadium shouting the name of Jesus. They weren't shouting Charlie Kirk, they're shouting Jesus. Why? Because he represented the kingdom of heaven. So church, we certainly could come in on a Sunday morning and shout the name of Jesus at Cross Point Church. We sing songs like that. Jesus in the streets. I sometimes think we just go through that and don't really understand what we're saying. I'm watching it on television before I came out here. People shouting the name of Jesus. 4:30 in the morning. It's the sound of revival happening, church. There is a sound of revival. There's a sound of a divine move of heaven. And I say, Lord God, let it invade Cross Point Church. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord God, we shout the name of Jesus today, Lord. Father God, you are welcome here. Your power, your presence, Lord God, fill this house. Fill the people that are watching online today, Lord. Father God, let this be a day they never forget, Lord. Let transformations take place. Let change take place. Let us be shouting the name of Jesus Christ in the streets, Lord. Lord God, let us make a sound that the whole world can hear. Let us participate in the revival, an outpouring, a divine movement, Lord God. Father, let us not miss it. Because we want to put a label on something. Lord God, let Cross Point Church rise up and shout Jesus in the streets. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Church, shout Jesus today. Jesus. Hallelujah. Shake somebody's hand and look at him and say, I love Jesus.
Well, I love Jesus. How about you? We used to sing this, we used to have that competition, I think, in youth group or something like that. So, well, it's so good to have everybody. Good to see everybody this morning. Welcome. If you're joining us online, welcome this morning. Let me introduce myself. My name is Pastor Mike, and I have the privilege of serving here as one of the associate pastors, along with my wife, Christine. We just want to welcome you this morning. It's so good to have everybody here in the house of the Lord joining us online. And I always love it when I see people joining us online and they message where they're joining us from. I think one was beautiful Western Colorado. I'm like, oh, well, you don't have to rub it in, you know, but it is so good to have everybody again if you're in the house. But if this is your first time joining us, I would love to connect with you. We would love to get to know you better. We also want to just bless you. One of the best and easiest ways to do that is this. You'll see a little QR code that's right in front of you on the pew, just in front of you. If you just take your phone, open up your camera on your phone, and it'll just scan that QR code. It'll take you right to a link just to correspond back and forth. That'll get you started. It's a great way to connect, learn more, ask us questions, communicate in that way. And then if you're in the house, you can just take that and just take your phone and just show our VIP center, hey, I was doing this connection, the digital connection, and we want to just bless you with a little gift. We have prepared a little box for you with just a little some cards and I think some chocolates and a gift card to Chick-fil-A. So it's just our way of just saying thank you for being here, blessing you. And we always will say it this way. If you're looking for a church home, we would say prayerfully consider to make Cross Point your church home. And we would love to have you just to come back and to be a part of our fellowship. So just want to give a couple announcements of this week here at Cross Point. Again, we're right back into the middle of our fall semester of Journey Night. That happens every Wednesday. Now, again, we've switched it up a little bit. So I just want to make sure that everybody's on the same page. We're going to have just our small groups this meeting this week. Again, we started a few weeks ago with something called First Wednesdays. That's only on the first Wednesday of the month, where we're going to have a dinner and we'll have a fellowship here in the worship center. But that's not this Wednesday. So Wednesday, there is no dinner. There's only small groups that are occurring. Those all start at 7 o'clock. So if you come at 6 o'clock hungry, you're going to leave at 8 o'clock hungry. So I don't want to be blamed. I am the conveyor, the messenger, right? So like I'm making sure that you know 7 o'clock this coming Wednesday. All of our small group classes, our kids and our youth are meeting. And we have a number of small groups that we started last week. And if you are here in the house, you can grab one of the flyers that we've created with all of the listings of all of those small groups. And so that includes, like, we have a men's small group meeting that's going through a book called the Titus 10, looking at principles for godly men. And actually, our own very own Pastor Brad is leading that right now. Can you believe that? He actually is going to lead a Wednesday night small group. It is. That is a miracle in and of itself. I thought, no, I'm only kidding. Folks, I got to get my digs in when I can. So we have men's, we have women's, and Jeannie Schatzer is leading our women's, and they are going through Priscilla Shear study right now. We have a Bible study meeting called Isaiah, and it's our own Twyla Brenner is doing that. We have our prayer time in our war room prayer room with Robin Totten. And we also have our Celebrate Recovery open share groups meeting at 7 o'clock. We don't do our normal large group gathering. If you're familiar with our Celebrate Recovery, we're just doing our open share groups now. So those are all of our small groups that are happening this Wednesday. If you have not, and you weren't here last week, can I just encourage you? Come. Be a part of it. Come and see what God wants to do in your life and in the lives of those that you come in contact with, because it's a relational small group ministry that we are really going after. We want to grow in Christ together. And that's all happening on Wednesday nights at Journey Night. Now, last week I started a group called Growth Track, and that's going to meet on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. And it's a four-week class, so we're just going to keep on cycling through throughout the semester. So today we were on week two, and we were actually taking, you know, believe it or not, I actually give tests in my small groups. I give tests. So we did two assessments this morning, a personality assessment and a spiritual gifts assessment. And so it's really all about looking to see, hey, who is Crosspoint? And who are you? And how God has created you and gifted you? And then how those come together and how we walk together and God's calling upon the church and his calling upon your life. So if you are interested, come talk to me. I'd love to have you in Growth Track. Every week we're doing something, but every 4 weeks we'll just start a new cycle. So I think in 2 weeks we'll be right back at week one. So just stay tuned. Come check it out. I'd love to have you. And then get this. Does anybody love babies? Okay. Let's make sure that we're all very clear on this one. I don't have any specific announcement regarding my family and any babies happening at any time now or near in the future. So let it be said, let it be known that that is not happening. But on October 5th, can I just encourage you to be here? We're going to just love on some families. We got some baby dedications coming. And I think it's one of the most exciting, fun, everybody goes, oh, you know, and all the moms and like, oh, you know, it's like, it is so powerful to be in the house of the Lord as we gather around children and parents to commit to ourselves, right? Because the church is a part of this, to walk with those parents and what scripture says to raise that child in the way they should go. And we want to just bless those families. That's happening October 5th, baby dedications. If you're here and you're like, hey, I want to be a part of that. My kids never got dedicated. Can I encourage you just to sign up on the app, or you can check it out at the Resource Center and sign up for that as well. I'm just excited for that. Are you excited for that? God's on the move, amen? Church, if I miss anything, check out our bulletin, check out our Facebook and our social media. And I love you. We'll see you in a little bit, church. God bless.
Amen. Pastor Mike, I'll see you in my office tomorrow morning. 8:30. Right? I saw Pastor Christine out in the hallway, and she gave me the great news. they are expecting their third. So, right? So he has no idea what's going on, right? Hey, welcome to Cross Point Church. What a great day. Guess what I saw on the weather in a couple days? It's going to rain. It hasn't rained for 50 days. It's like a Noah territory around here, right? It's going to rain. Now it's going to be sunny. It's raining and sunny, right? We're heading to the Noah season, right? You know it's going to happen like that, folks, because when it's not raining for 40 days or something, it's going to rain for 40 days. So get ready. Great to be in the house today. Thank you for joining online. So many people watching this morning. Thank you, Colorado. Beautiful Colorado, for joining us this morning. This is a great day, church. This is a great day. We're going to jump into it. We are doing a series called On the Verge, A Divine Move of God. Now, we are in week 3 of this series, and I just want to do exactly what we've been doing for the first 2 weeks. I want to recite with you and believe with you that we are expecting God to pour out his power. So it should be on the screen behind me. If you're watching online, you could do this at home or wherever you're at. Church, recite after me. We are on the verge of a divine move of God. That is speaking your faith into the coming moment. We will be still and trust his timing. We will yield to the stirring of his spirit. We will listen to the sound of his voice. We will welcome his arrival in power. This is our moment. And we will never be the same. Give Jesus praise today, church. Hallelujah. You know, what is a divine move? A divine move is the Spirit of God supernaturally invading the ordinary in your life to reorder it and change the outcome. What it looks like today may not be what it's going to be tomorrow, folks. The prophetic timeline that we have been teaching on starts with stillness. Be still and know that I am God, right? It goes to stirring, which we talked about last week. Today, we're going to talk about the sound. Next week, we'll talk about divine moment, the actual divine moment. Remember, in stillness, stirring, sound, divine moment. In that stillness, there's preparation. He's going to prepare you. Then he's going to start to stir you. And then the sounds of heaven are going to start to show up, which you're going to learn about today. The sounds of heaven. But before I jump into that, I just need a couple minutes to talk to you a little bit, Pastor to Cross Point. Is that okay? I just need to share my heart this morning. You all right with that? You know, 10 days or so ago, we watched, and many of you watched, the assassination of Charlie Kirk. And, you know, I was a fairly regular watcher of his ministry. Yes, it's a ministry. Yes. Yes, he had many political overtones, political commentary, whatnot. And if you knew him, you would say, I understand, because he would always say, I use the political to preach the gospel. Right? But, you know, the political is tied to the gospel, because the gospel tells us, God's word tells us how to live and behave. So he would preach that, how to live and behave. And of course, we know that he aligned himself with certain political parties, and that's not what I'm talking about today. But I've been very proud as pastor of this church, and just a pastor in general, of the behavior of many people and how they have said things and in support, and it's been nice. But then again, your pastor has been extremely disappointed. Very disappointed. Because I have seen people that profess Jesus as Lord of their life posting online the most despicable, horrific things you could put about the situation. And then I see them on another post confessing Jesus, but then I see him on the next post slamming a man for losing his life and calling him fake fraud or whatever and phony, and all because of a political stance or a political position. I would venture the bet that everybody in the house today and watching online has some type of political position. Now, you know mine already. I adhere to the Bible. And whatever the Bible says, that's my kingdom. That's my position. And folks, I really don't care if it's red or blue, because my Bible speaks life. And so when your pastor sees things like that, it hurts me. The only thing that I can do is to pray. Church, I will say to you, don't ever let something like this divide you. Because that's exactly what the enemy wants. So I pray for those people that are doing that and posting things like that and making commentary. You know, a friend of mine sent me a video the other day that, you know, because I've been really struggling with this and trying to come to grips with it and understand it. And God, what's your plan? And I'm starting to see the plan unfold. But he sent me this video, Pastor Daniel Kalinda, down in Florida, who is Nations Church pastor. You many of you probably know the history there. I won't get into it, but big church and big ministry and whatnot. And the video was how Charlie called him a couple months ago when he was having a Turning Point. That's the organization Charlie founded, Turning Point USA conference in Florida. He said, "Hey, would you come speak at the conference?" And he testifies on a Sunday morning. He says, "Listen, I'm watching the video." He says, "Listen, I'm not a political guy, Charlie. You know I'm not. I'm not a political guy. I don't have these political positions. I speak life through the Bible as you do. And so I don't know what I can offer." And he said that Charlie says to him on the phone, "Wait a minute, you don't understand. I'm asking you to come and preach. Like, preach a message. That's what we're going to do. The platform, the political thing is just a way to get people in the door. We're going to preach Jesus, and I want you to do it." He says, "Well, I'm going to have an altar call." He says, "You better." He says, "I'm going to ask for salvation and people to come down front, and we're going to build an altar at that conference." He says, "You better, because that's why I'm calling you." In church, as we navigate things like this, you're watching now an outpouring of power from heaven. God can use whoever God wants to use. And he doesn't have to ask for my permission or your permission to do that. Because it may be you. It may be you. There's an outpouring coming. It's already happening. The sounds of heaven are very, very distinct. And, you know, I saw this and I realized what had taken place, and many of you have been putting pressure on your pastor to speak to this, both in the house and online, and pastor, what do you think, and I'm going to give you a few things of what I think that will lead us right into our message of the sound, the beginnings today. You know, there's all kinds of these sounds that are happening around this situation of this assassination, and the first sound, of course, was the sound of a gunshot. Many of you that saw the video, you hear the sound of the gunshot, and things just completely changed. Families have been changed, and businesses and lives by that sound. There's been the sound of panic, as the crowd just scattered and screaming and yelling and trying to get away, and you probably have saw that video. There are sounds of confusion now, headlines. People talking on, debating back and forth about everything they saw and everything that was going on, and conspiracy theories, and you name it, it's been, right? It's there, and you get the sounds of weeping families. Not only Charlie's family, his wife who was left without a husband, and his daughters left without a father. But then the family of the shooter, my heart bleeds for. His father, Tyler's father, the shooter's father, was a law enforcement guy, 27-year sheriff. And he was the one that was involved in turning in the son. So that family is holed up in their home because they can't leave. So there's weeping and all this sounds going on in families and sounds of unanswered questions. Why? Pastor, why? Why do you think? What now? What's going to happen? There's sounds of a fractured country. Now we have arguing more so than we had before, dividing and unraveling. We have sounds of prayer. Thank you, Lord. More sounds of prayer than I've ever heard before. More sounds of prayer than I've ever experienced before. And I hear this sound, free speech. Free speech. Whatever happened to free speech? It's the sound that really is ringing in your pastor's head right now in the last few days, because we're watching as many businesses throughout the nation are terminating their association with employees for posting things online that was just awful about the event. A man loses his life, and they're online making these horrendous commentaries. And so companies have decided, we don't want you associated with us. Well, that's a violation of free speech. Church, those companies that employ you can do whatever they want. If the church doesn't like my commentary today, they can let me go tomorrow. See, just because you have the right to say it doesn't mean you have, it doesn't mean it's the right thing to say. And you're watching that throughout our nation, and we're watching even late night TV hosts that have been awful in their commentary of the event. Now their networks are saying, we're done. We're done. There's got to be a line, folks. There's got to be a line. I hear the sounds of heaven. Welcome, thy good and faithful servant. I have no doubt. I have the sounds in my head of disruption. As of yesterday morning, 60,000 plus requests have been made to Turning Point USA to launch new chapters of their organization on a college campus or high school. 60,000. They're hiring staff to keep up with it. The message that was trying to be knocked down, has that sound has just risen up. Why? Because the Lord thy God will never be mocked, will never be stopped, no matter what happens. The sounds of disruption. People are being empowered, church. And it started to make me think, and as I was writing today's message, is when I started it, is when the assassination took place. So this is a little difficult for me. I'm literally at a laptop computer and going through the process of preparation for a couple weeks in advance, and I hear the news. He said, it can't be. And there's a sound. It reminds me of the sounds of dry bones rattling before the army rises. In Ezekiel 37, God gave Ezekiel this vision to remind his people that no matter how dead they are, scattered or hopeless, everything seems, there's still a God in heaven. No matter how fractured it is and how much you are running, God had the power to restore them, not only physically as a nation, but spiritually as his people. So how did Ezekiel get into the equation? We go all the way back to captivity in Egypt of over 400 years. God's people held in bondage. Let my people go. He sends a messenger. Nobody wanted to listen to the messenger. They didn't want to hear this messenger. We're not going to let these slaves go. Well, you know the story. God broke them out. And Moses led them into the wilderness. And the people were following. Over 4 million men, women, and children. And they go through the wilderness for many years. It didn't have to be that long, but their mumblings and grumblings kept them there. And they're heading to the conquest of Canaan, the promised land. And Moses steps aside because God moved him out and moves Joshua in to inhabit the land that I promised you. And they moved in and overtook the land. God set up a period of judges, tribal leaders. There's no government, there's no country, there's a bunch of people. And for many, many years, these judges would oversee the people. Israel was kind of like a loose tribal confederation. And many years in, they decided they wanted a king. You don't need a king, you have me. We want a king. Everybody else around us has a king, but God said, you don't need the king. But God relented and says, fine, I'll give them what they wanted. And they formed a united kingdom. They all got together and formed themselves a nation. And King Saul was the first king. David was the second. Solomon was the third. And it ran for about 110 years. But you know, during that time, folks, people didn't do the right things, just like today. They don't do the right things. And the kingdom got divided. There's 12 tribes, if you remember. Some of the tribes went to the southern geographic area, and others went to the north. And they separated. Now we have two kingdoms. Idolatry, rejecting God's prophets, broken relationships with heaven, on and on and on, is the reason for division. Israel was up to the north. It lasted 209 years. Judah was to the south. It lasted 345 years before Babylon came in and took it over. And in the midst of the takeover, there's this guy. And his name is Ezekiel. And God's going to send for him with a message. Yeah, my judgment's on you. However, there is still hope. So there's a holy dispatch that goes out to Ezekiel, who's in exile. God's calling. God is looking for Ezekiel. He sends for them. In Hebrew, sends means salah. It means sent, dispatched. I need you. I'm coming looking for you. Ezekiel was sent to speak God's word to a rebellious people, even if they didn't want to listen. See, God's going to send us somebody, even if we don't want to hear it. And today, folks, many people don't want to hear it. But God still sends people to speak the message. So nobody can ever say, you didn't tell me. I didn't know. And Ezekiel was the guy. He's going to tell them why they're being judged, why you're where you're at. And he's also going to tell them, listen, God can restore you. We jump to Ezekiel 2, 3 through 4. God's got Ezekiel on a mission, a prophetic mission. He says, son of man, I'm going to send you to the Israelites, to a rebellious nation. Folks, you're going to see a lot of USA in here today. I'm going to send you to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their ancestors have been in revolt against me this very day. The people to whom I am sending you are obstinate and stubborn. Say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. So the sound, which is the title of today's message, the sound, the beginnings, he wants them to give them the sound. What's the sound? You tell them what the sovereign Lord says. That's your instructions. Ezekiel 37:2. He led me back and forth among them. So the Holy Spirit gets a hold of Ezekiel, and he starts to show them. It's kind of like flying around, maybe, right? Look at all these people. And I saw a great many bones. That means there's everybody. I saw them all. On the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry, which means there's no life, church. There's no life. Ezekiel 37:4 says, then he said to me, prophesy to those bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. That means hear the sound of God's voice. I want you to tell them, hear the word of the Lord. That says, let them know that I've got a message for them. I've got a sound of my voice. I want them to hear it today. Ezekiel 37:7 starts so. Why does it start so? Because that's the stirring I taught you 2 weeks ago. He's starting to stir them. So here's Ezekiel being told you're going to be sent. So he says, so? I got to do it. He's being stirred. And then he says, I prophesied. That means now I'm willing. We taught you that last week. When you take stirring and willingness together, what do you get? You get a move of God. Because he could have said no. So, stirred. I, Ezekiel, prophesied willingly as I was commanded. I was told to do it, so I'm going to be obedient. That means I was stirred. I'm going to go out and do it. I'm willing. And I was prophesying. There was a noise of a rattling sound. And the bones started to come together, bone to bone. There's no breath in them, the Bible says. There's no life yet. Got to speak life now. Got to speak life, but there is no life. But the rattling, and they're together, but there's no life in them. Church, we see many people like that today. They walk around our streets all the time, but there's no life in them. They're dead. They're spiritually dead. This couldn't be more prophetic for today. So God tells Ezekiel, I want you now to speak life into them. I'm stirring you, and I want you to be willing to continue. You've gotten this far, let's go a little bit further. They're walking around on the streets of Canton, Ohio, but there's no life in them. But the people of Cross Point Church will go up to them and pray with them and speak Jesus into them prophetically and say, I know and I know that I know that God is looking for you. And you're the messenger. It's your responsibility. You are the Ezekiel. There's dry bones in front of you. And then look what it says in Ezekiel 37:10. So, God wants me to go speak life. Prophetically, I'm going to speak life. So that here, that means still stirred. He's still stirred. He's still on board. I prophesied. That means he's still willing. The exact same thing he just did, he's going to do it again. And he's going to speak life as he was commanded and breath. They came to life and stood up on their feet. And the scripture says, a vast army. Not only life, but an army is now there. Not only life, but now I've got soldiers. Soldiers, church. 60,000 new Turning Point chapters in the next year. Soldiers. Soldiers of people that were maybe dead, complacent, being rattled to life. Why does sound matter, Pastor? Because the sound of rattling bones was not the fulfillment. It was only the beginning. The vast army was upon him, but they hadn't done anything yet. Before any breath, before any life, before an army, there was a sound, church. That sound was heaven's signal that hopelessness was ending and resurrection was beginning. It started with a sound because a guy was stirred and willing. God shows him the sound and teaches him and speaks to him to speak life. Church, in the Bible, sounds mark the beginning of a God movement. The very reason we're preaching on this today. Hey, remember Elijah on Mount Carmel a couple weeks ago? We talked about that. Remember that? You remember? Yeah. 24-mile mountain range, northern Israel, Mount Carmel. Elijah challenges the prophets of Baal, right? My God could call down, I could call down fire from my God on this altar, but can you do it with yours? Remember that? The story didn't end there. We just didn't speak it yet, right? Remember that fire consumed the altar that Elijah built. And after days, the prophets of Baal could not get theirs. Nothing happened. 1 Kings 18:41, let's watch what happens here. And Elijah says to Ahab, the king, the wicked king, go eat and drink, for there is a sound of heavy rain. He's already called down the fire, it's over. But see, they're in a drought. And I taught you that a couple weeks ago. They're in a drought for 3.5 years of no rain. We haven't had rain for what, about a month? I kind of like it, to be honest, right? It's nice. No rain. But not for 3.5 years. But it's 3.5 years going on here. And he says to Ahab, the king, listen, go eat and drink. Because I hear a sound of heavy rain. He says, go eat and drink. I don't need you. That's what you say. I don't need you. Go do what you want to do. Go eat. Why? I heard a sound. And that sound came from heaven. And the sound says there's heavy rain. There's blue skies. There's not been rain in 3.5 years. I don't care. I heard a sound. And that sound's good enough for me. That's what Elijah said. It's good enough. You're going to see how good enough in a second. 1 Kings 18:42 through 43. So Ahab went off to eat and drink. But Elijah climbed to the top of Mount Carmel. Remember, that's a big mountain range. He goes to the top, bent down to the ground, put his face between his knees. Why? I'm going to pray. He's not praying for rain, church. He's preparing himself to receive the rain that the sound already told him was coming. God, whatever you want me to do, I'll receive it. However, wherever, whatever, I'll do it. Is that our prayer today? Believing so much for something that God told you, there's a sound rattling in your mind, in your spirit. Do you got it? You're saying to yourself, I know that's God. I know he's speaking to me. I'm praying. Are you praying? Is that it? Or are you praying to just receive it when it shows up? He's going, I'm going to pray. I'm going to receive it. But there's a problem. There's no clouds. It's kind of funny you have to have clouds to have rain. Verse 43 says, go look towards the sea. He told his servant. So he went up and looked. So he's telling his servant, hey, go over to the sea. Why? Because a lot of times the clouds would roll in over the sea. There's nothing there, he said. There's not a cloud in the sky. He said 7 times, Elijah said, go back. Why did Elijah tell him to go back and keep checking 7 times? Why? And he kept coming back saying, there's no clouds. Why did he tell him to go back? Because Elijah was so convinced that he heard the sound of heavy rain, you've got to go get there because I know it's coming. I know it's coming. Why? God told me it was coming. God gave me the sound. I don't see it. I can't understand it. It doesn't matter. God gave me a sound of heavy rain. I know it's coming. So he keeps sending his messenger, go look for it, because I'm telling you, it's coming. Speak life to the messenger. He starts to see the rain coming. Like in the middle of summer, we driving, my wife and I driving through town or out in the country, whatever, and I would say to her frequently, look down there, this rain's coming. You can see it. So he's kind of like edging them on. You're going to see heavy rain, you know, those downpours, right? It's coming. I heard the sound. He's looking for some rain clouds. 1 Kings 18:44, the seventh time the servant came back and reported, a cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea. That would make you excited, right? Right? That boy, that grew my faith, right? I sent him back there seven times. God says heavy rain. He comes back. Yeah, I saw a cloud. It's this big. It's a mighty rain. A hand. Excuse me. What's he do? So Elijah said, go and tell Ahab, hitch up your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. It's only the size of a hand. He's given instructions for heavy rain, and the cloud is the size of a hand. Why? Church, he heard a sound of heavy rain. It didn't matter what it looked like. It didn't matter if it was the size of a hand. The Lord thy God told him, heavy rain is coming. And he believed it. Go tell Ahab, get out of here. Why? There's proof. It's only, excuse me, folks. It's only the size of a hand. But I don't need any more. Elijah knew a sound marks the beginning of a God movement. Rain's coming, church. Your pastor can feel it and hear it. Rain's coming. There's an outpouring of heavy rain coming. Are you ready? Do you believe it? What about King David? Let's talk about King David here for a minute or two. King David, the newly appointed king. Right after Saul, right? Talked about him a second ago. 2 Samuel 5:24. As soon as you hear the sound of the marching on in the tops of the poplar trees, move quickly. He's giving him instruction. He's not saying you're going to see anything. He's just going to say you're going to hear something. When you hear it, you go. Why? Because the sound is always the beginning of an outpouring of heaven. There's a threat. Philistines are threatening them as they have done, what, twice before. And they got to go to battle. And right? He's the new king. The instruction was the sound in the trees. Church, that is the angels of heaven going before them to fight the battle. It's the army of the Lord. It's the angelic host moving ahead of Israel. What? It's the sound of the beginning of victory. Israel only had to follow the sound. That's all they had to do. See, the sounds in the Bible were signals. They're divine alerts that something was shifting. And today, we're hearing those sounds. If you're not hearing those sounds, you're not listening. Church, I believe what we're hearing now in the midst of sorrow, shaking, and uncertainty is actually the sounds of new beginnings. Not only for you and your life, but the church here at Crosspoint, but the church of Jesus Christ in the United States of America, but not only a church here, church throughout the globe. I think God's had enough. I think God said, I am done. It's about time the tables get turned and you see what the Lord thy God can really do. Lord God, send the rain. Listen for the sounds, church. See, we need to realize that our faith hears what the natural cannot see. Your faith, that's the story I just gave you. I believe the rain's coming because I heard the sound. I heard the heaviness. I heard, go check for clouds. There's no clouds. I don't care. I know it's coming. My faith heard it. The deeper the faith, the louder the sound. Church, we need to realize that that sound unlocks a supernatural sequence. It's a supernatural sequence. In Ezekiel 37, the bones rattled first before they came to life. In 2 Samuel 5:24, David had to wait for the sound of the marching in the treetops before he moved out. God often gives that sound before releasing the movement. I think you're seeing the sounds and hearing the sounds all over the world right now. We need to realize the sound. That sound is an invitation for attention, not performance. All I'm seeing like on TV is a lot of performances. God doesn't want a performance. He wants your attention. But there's a sound out there, and he wants you to listen. Are you hearing it? Your pastor is hearing it. See, Elijah didn't run when he heard the sound. He bowed and prayed. He went up to the mountain and he prayed for the oncoming rain. Is that us today, church? Is that us? When you're on the verge of a divine move, it will be the faithful who hear it first. That's why it doesn't rattle me too much or everything I'm seeing on TV. Because the faithful will know it first. That is you and I. I know the sound. God is moving. I know the sound, and God is moving. I wonder what the sound is in your life today. What is God trying to get you to do? What is he trying to get your attention with? What's he stirring inside of you? It could be your pastor coming up and just making a casual conversation of something that really speaks volumes to you, but I didn't know. It could be your friend, your family, your colleague, somebody. It could be anything. It could be a sound of something happening. See, we're so caught up in the busyness, we're not hearing the sounds of heaven. No mistake by the enemy at all. He knows exactly how to distract us when God wants to say something to us. Church, I didn't know if I was going to ask you to the altar today or not. And I told our worship team, I don't know. I know now. I hear the sounds of Cross Point Church coming to an altar. I hear the sounds of them rallying around the altar as our worship team plays, raising hands and say, Lord God, send me. I'll do it. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. I hear the sound. I know that some of us here today. So as our worship team begins to play, I challenge you now to come and hear the sound of heaven in your life today. If you're part of our altar team, you can make your way down as well. When people come down and pray with them, this is your moment, church. As soon as you hear the sound of our worship team, that is your time to move quickly. I'll meet you at the altar.
Mighty name of Jesus. I pray over my heart and mind.
Yeah.
trees today in Cross Point Church. Hallelujah. I hear a sound, church. We are on the verge of an outpouring, even though the clouds aren't on the coastal yet. Some of you have already come up to me and say, Pastor, guess what's going on in my life? That's a divine movement. You're going to see it, though, corporate-wide. I hear a sound. God has spoke to me to expect it, so I expect it. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord God, I thank you. I thank you, Lord God, that you teach us to be still. I thank you, Lord God, that you start to stir us. And then a sound shows up, Lord God, to rattle us alive. God, I am alive today. Cross Point Church is alive. Lord God, we're at the altar, Lord, praying for the receiving of the outpouring, Lord. We're not questioning the outpouring. We're receiving it today. For those that need a health touch, Lord, I receive that for them. For those that need that financial miracle, I receive that for them. Lord God, for the sounds that need to show up, Lord God, we've got to pay attention. And then let the faithful hear it first. Let us be faithful, Lord. Father God, as we leave here today, Lord, let us not forget that you will continue. The sounds of heaven will continue. Lord God, let us be attentive to the sound. Whether it be a soft-spoken voice, a gunshot, a nation in crisis, whatever it may be, Lord, let the church do what the church is called to do. Lord God, let Cross Point Church be the church, Lord, the church that speaks life, that lays down our problems first and speaks life to somebody else. Let that be us. Let us serve, Lord. Father, I pray that people come in on a Wednesday night and they hear the sounds of a gifted instructor to teach them. Let them come Wednesday night, Lord, and be blessed. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. Church, give praise. I got one final sound I want you to hear, and that's you and I shouting the name of Jesus Christ. Let's do that as we go out today.
Shout Jesus Christ.